Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up to read the word of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the living God, Jesus. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord reads in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came upon and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, a powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amaze us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and is saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on that day and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Shall we please pray? Father, Lord God, in Jesus' name we thank you. We praise you for your Son Jesus you gave to die for us. Thank you, Lord Almighty, that you've made these experiences available for us to learn from. Thank you for your word that does not fail and your word that does not change. Thank you for your promises concerning our lives. Thank you for who you are, Lord God. Father, in Jesus' name, at this moment, I yield myself to you and I surrender to you. Spirit of our living God, that you give me clarity of speech and that you will speak to your people's heart today. I pray for every heart here, O Lord, that we shall be able to receive from you and be able to go into our world and live the life that you've called us to live. We bless you, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Shall we please sit down? Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you all. We thank God so much. We thank God for this time. So, here we are. Tonight, this morning, I'm speaking on the subject, Journey with Jesus Christ. Journey with Jesus Christ. All of us here somehow have been on so many different kinds of journeys. I, for instance, I have had some lovely people in my life, and I have been on very interesting journeys. One of such many journeys is my personal relationship with my wife, Jumi. I met my wife at church while I was leading prayers. And from that time, my relationship with her has been a relationship of knowing her better. She has gotten to know me better, and I have had the opportunity of knowing her better. She has taught me a lot of things, and I also teach her things. I mean, I'm naturally from Ghana, and I teach her a lot about culture and my culture and stuff like that. She also is from UK. So as British, she teaches me her culture. She teaches me English. Sometimes she'll be like, no, don't put it this way. Say it this way. She edits my sermons sometimes. She understands certain things, and she helps me to be the person that God wants me to be that way. Oh, I have had the opportunity of tasting some really good food through her when she cooks. All my days, amazing. I have had the opportunity of living in USA by marrying my wife. I mean, we relocated from, God used her company to relocate us into USA. And since we've been here, God has blessed us immensely through her company. And so, just a few things that I can say that my wife being in my life has been to me. And I'm sure you also have a lot of people that you have journeyed, God has brought along your way, that you can say at some point such people were blessings to you. I'm telling you, there is no better journey you can be on than a journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us seated here at some point had the opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior, and we did. We accepted Him, and we've been on a certain journey to this far. But this morning, I want to focus on this journey that is recorded, and it's only Luke that writes about this journey. There's so many times that Jesus revealed Himself after His resurrection from the dead. And you remember last week I was speaking on the subject, do you know Him? And the subject that I was speaking on was about how Mary Magdalene had related with Jesus, but when Jesus was resurrected and was speaking to her, she was caught up in something else that didn't allow her to really see that the Lord Jesus was standing right in front of her, talking to her. Likewise, these people here, you see here, if you look at the title of your Bible, if your Bible is topical, they would say the road to Emmaus. Other translations put the journey to Emmaus, but I have put it as a journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. These three disciples, these two disciples, were people who followed Jesus. And they had gone to Jerusalem. They saw what happened over the weekend, Jesus being crucified. And they had heard the news that Jesus was resurrected. Well, it is over now for them. So they were going back to where they came from. But the writer says two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus. These two were traveling. But while they were going on this journey, the Lord Jesus appears amongst them. Jesus is resurrected. The news had gone out that Jesus had resurrected. Only Mary had seen Jesus at this point. And these two are also traveling and going, and the writer says that Jesus comes along and journey with them. You see, these two people aren't any famous apostles that are mentioned that were very key people that walked with Jesus when he was on this earth and journeyed with him and they knew him. No. The only thing, one of them's name is mentioned, and that's it. Their names are not even so important here. Two people were traveling. But you see, in as much as they weren't part of the 12 disciples, the Lord Jesus still felt it important to go and meet them on their journey and relate with them. This tells us something about our God that we serve. That even though we may not come from the richest of the richest, I mean, I've had the opportunity of growing up in different communities and different nations. I have seen how the royal family of Great Britain are treated. They are treated with royalty, man. And I've also had the opportunity of being in USA, and I have seen how you treat your presidents here. The motorcade that you give them, the extent of money that is spent on all these delegates and the important people in this nation. It is good to take care of your leaders, that's right. But you see, maybe you and I, we don't have any title. We don't have any significant standing in community or society, but yet still, as Jesus met these two who weren't any significant people, likewise, he has also chosen you and I to meet us and journey with us. Isn't this amazing about the Lord? God is not about titles and people and what. So long as you are a human being, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish but have an eternal life. Jesus came for you and I and President Trump and the royal family and everybody else in this world. Isn't this important? This tells us that the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the supreme God, the great I am, cares about you and I. No matter whatever is going on in your life, however you have been treated from your childhood, whatever people have said to you, whatever state you are in, this morning as you are here sitting under my voice, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus cares about you. He cares about you and he cares about me. Regardless of your condition, regardless of your race, regardless of your culture, regardless of your background, regardless of your social standing in society, he cares about you. And he came along these people and he journeyed with them. They conversed and reasoned together. As the writer says, they were talking and they were having conversation. And all these things which had happened to Jesus. They were talking about the things that had happened to Jesus. Then look at what happened. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. While I was reading on this subject, Charles Spurgeon says something about it, and I want to read it to you. Charles Spurgeon says, when the two saints are talking together, Jesus is very likely to come and make the third one in the company. Talk of him and you will soon talk with him. Charles Spurgeon says that you and somebody begin to talk about Jesus, and very soon before you realize, you are talking to Jesus. That is also why the word of God says, wherever two or three shall gather in my name, there I will be. Anytime we begin a conversation about the Lord Jesus, anytime we begin to talk about Jesus, just as these two were walking and talking about Jesus and reminiscing and talking about what had happened, he appeared among them. Child of God, begin to take delight in talking about Jesus with one another. You know, I am so concerned. There are times when I'm among fellow Christians and I listen to conversation to a point and I begin to ask myself, is it about time I move on? Is it about time I end the conversation? Because the conversation has turned into something else. Something else is important. Another discussion is so important. Other Christians can spend so much time talking about politics. Christians can spend so much time talking about their children and their achievements and their well-being. And you find that, okay, so when do we start to talk about what Jesus is doing in our life? Begin to talk about Jesus. And you will soon begin to talk to him. So when you look at the 17 to 24, the disciples explain what they were talking about. Now, Jesus said, what kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you walk and are sad? Jesus opened the conversation. You see, God is always seeking after you and I. These two were walking, and Jesus comes along. I can even imagine, probably Jesus walked with them for a while, listening to what they were talking about, and Jesus said, okay, it's time for me to get involved. You see, and as children of God, I want to remind us that God is always seeking to begin a conversation with you and I. You know, the times when you feel like, oh, I should pray. It's God saying, I want to have a conversation with you. The times when you feel like, oh, I should read my Bible. It's the Lord wanting to have a conversation with you. Jesus is always seeking to get involved in our life, to talk to us, to relate with us, and for us to accept him and for him to begin a certain journey with us of revealing who he really is to you and I. You see, today there are so many believers, so many children of God who call themselves believers that really do not know Jesus for who he is. And so that it's not surprising also then that the child of God of today do not carry the power and the authority that the Lord Jesus has given us because we lack our identity. We lack our identity. So Jesus wants to relate you with you and I. Begin to open up to a relationship with him. You see, if you open up, the word of God says, draw near to him and he shall draw near to you. James tells us this. James chapter 4 teaches us that we should draw near to God and he shall draw near to us. And so, if we begin this conversation, God has already shown that he loves us and he cares about us. He wants to relate with us because he is the initiator of salvation. When humankind sinned through Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, even though they offended God by sinning against him, by eating of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, God did not leave it there. God still came moving around in the garden. God initiated. Even though they had offended him, he still initiated and was looking for the Adam. Adam, where are you? Where are you? And since that time, God has not given up on relating with humans. My dear brothers and sisters, you and I should not also stop seeking him. God loves you and I. He cares about you and I. He wants to give you the best. He wants to show you the best things in this world. He says, call on me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things you do not know of. Call on me so you can begin. He's saying, I want to relate with you. These people are talking among themselves. And Jesus says, what kind of things are you two talking about? What are you discussing that Jesus wants to interrupt? What are you discussing? What are you doing that he wants to interrupt? And are you actually paying attention to his interruption? Are you paying attention to his interruption? I love my bed. Don't get it wrong. I like my bed. Actually, that's the right word. I like my bed. I will sleep well. When I get the opportunity to sleep, I sleep. But you know what? There are times I will be sleeping and I'll feel like, I need to pray. Then that one, I don't care. Whether 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., I will wake up from my bed. I do not allow my bed to control when God wants to talk to me. And my wife knows. Excuse me, baby, I'm coming. So, what is it that you do that God wants to interrupt that is so important to you that you can't stop for the Lord Jesus? But look at this. Jesus noticed that they were sad. So Jesus literally pointed it out, that you are sad. You see, many of us are going through difficult times, hard times, and the Lord wants to interrupt. The Lord wants to come in and heal us somehow. But yet still, no, some of us are so closed. But then one of them opens his mouth. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which had happened in these days? Of course, I can imagine Jesus probably smiling when they are saying this. Who did not know in Jerusalem that Jesus was crucified? But you see, what things are concerning Jesus of Nazareth? I want to point out a few of them. During that weekend, what happened? They knew his name and where he was from. These disciples knew his name. They knew where he was from. They knew he was a prophet. They knew he was mighty in deed and words. They knew he was crucified. They knew he promised to redeem Israel. They knew others had said he rose from the dead. These are all things they knew we were hoping. They were hoping. You see, to them, these disciples had a certain hope, disappointed. Their hope was not truly disappointed, but in some way, their hope was misguided. How many times have you and I's relationship with the Lord been misguided? We have a certain hope. We have a certain desire. But it is misguided. We know the story. I talked about this 3 weeks ago. During the Palm Sunday, when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem. Everybody was excited. The king of the Jews entering and coming. But yet still, when the opportunity came, they were disappointed because they were looking for a political person to come and set them free from their political struggle from the Roman Empire. And so when Jesus came into the temple and whipped them and began to talk to them about living for God, they were disappointed. And when they had the opportunity to respond what to do to Jesus, they said, "Give us Barabbas and kill Jesus." The same people who were saying, "Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David," the same crowd then turned on against him and said, "Kill him." You see, many of us may have accepted Jesus for several personal reasons and for certain causes, that it is okay. There's nothing wrong to come to Jesus and expect that he would do something for you. But you see, the main reason why Jesus came to die for you and I is so that we shall receive a spiritual relationship with the Father, with the Creator himself. And so if we do not first realize that Jesus has come as a bridge between us and God, then we miss the mark. And likewise, this is what's going on here. These disciples knew who Jesus was. They knew he had power and authority. They had heard the news about him. They were following, but yes, still, they had unbelief in their heart. They had a certain hope that Jesus did not meet. And so the mere fact that Mary comes to tell them Jesus has risen, and the two apostles, being John and Peter, going and seeing empty tomb, wasn't enough for them. They were going away sad because Jesus was not alive. To them, Jesus had not risen, even though they had heard the testimony that Jesus had risen. For them, he wasn't, so they were sad. What are you believing God for? Who is he to you and I this morning? Who is God to you? Who is Jesus to you? Do you believe that Jesus is all you need today? See, Jesus, when he met Thomas, when he came to them, and Thomas accepted him because he had the opportunity to see his nails in his hands and touch him, he said, I believe. Thomas said, I believe. And he said, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not yet seen, but have yet believed. We need to begin to believe. A child of God cannot have unbelief in their heart. The word of God says that they that come to the Lord must come believing that he exists. That first there is a God that exists. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you and I must begin to believe. The state of our heart needs to be dealt with. And so, moving on from this, coming to 25 to 27, Jesus teaches them why the Messiah had to die. Look at what Jesus said. After he heard their disappointment and all that, and sees the unbelief in their heart, this is what Jesus says, slow of heart to believe. Jesus says, you are slow in believing. Yes, you followed me. And many of us, we probably have accepted the Lord Jesus, but yes, we are at a certain point in our life, all this relationship with Jesus, all this journey with Jesus, we are not committed to because, you know what, I'm not so sure about this Jesus thing. I'm not, even when you come to church, you are being skeptical, like, what's he going to do now? That young pastor, what's he, do they really know God? Who is this Jesus they talk about? Let me go and check them out and see. Oh, I want to keep going on. Let me see until something moves in the church. You know, my best friend in UK, the anointing that is upon him is so amazing. He moves in the supernatural and the miraculous. If he entered here and he started speaking, most of you here will begin screaming and calling for Jesus. You see how the power of God will move here. He's coming to UK. And so he said to me, I'd love to come and visit you. If you'd like, I'll speak at your church. And I was praying about this with my wife. And the Lord said, no, it is not time for him to come here yet. Because many of us are looking for the supernatural, the spectacular, and yet still in our hearts, we have not fully committed to the Lord Jesus. You want to see all these things before you accept to worship the Lord Jesus, before you commit to Jesus, before you live for Jesus. And Jesus says, you slow at heart to believe. That is serious. You are coming to church. You are dressing up. You are probably in a ministry. You are probably leading a ministry. But yet still, you are not committed to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, this is not acceptable. It's a rebuke he gave them. This is not acceptable. You are slow to believe. If you die in that state, you end up in hell because you have not believed. Child of God, children of God, let us begin to commit our totality to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not make this time of worship and coming to him a waste of time. For we live today, tomorrow we do not know. But Jesus is willing to come along. You see, the whole thing is the state of your heart, not your mind. Jesus said, at heart, your heart, my heart. You slow at heart. And so it is not your mind. Your mind will tell you, oh, what is the biblical research behind this? What does the Bible say about this? Oh, you cannot do this. No. But in your heart, you need to begin to truly accept him as your Lord, as your Savior. You need to begin from your heart. That's why the word of God says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. So guard it with all diligence. You know, I have decided I am not going to sit down with ungodly people to undermine my God. I wish they would come to the Lord. But if I begin a conversation with you and you are going to disrespect the relationship I have with my Lord Jesus, sorry, you live in your unbelief and I will move on. So I don't waste my time with certain things and certain people. Because I need to guard myself, my heart. Watch the things you talk, you listen to, the music you listen to, the things you like to watch, the people you call your friends, the way they come around you and they talk as if, and so because of that, sometimes there are some people, when they come around you, you even fear to appear as a Christian. You can't talk about your Christian belief, your Christian faith, your Christian what you want to please them. Check your heart. The issues of the heart. And the Lord Jesus says, you are slow in believing. And so Jesus rebukes them. Jesus rebukes them. And then he said to them, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into the glory? They should have believed what all the prophets have spoken, that the Messiah would suffer first and then he will be received in his glory. You see, they were common, simple men. They had lost hope. They had lost joy, a sense of spiritual desertion. They had not lost desire. You see, they had some sort of desire because they were walking, talking about Jesus. They still loved to talk about Jesus. They had not yet seen the necessity of the cross. These people were going, and many of us probably find ourselves in that position. We know about Jesus. We have heard so many stories. That's why it is dangerous. I pray for my children concerning this, that they will begin to accept the Lord Jesus, begin to see the Lord Jesus for who he is. Because when you grow up in the church, it is even more dangerous, religion. Oh, we talk about the stories of Jesus. And so you grow up with the story of Jesus, thinking that you know Jesus, you are a child of God, you have accepted him, but yet still, you will not have been into a relationship, personal relationship and reflection of who Jesus is, and have accepted him as your Lord and personal Savior, living for him. And so today we have people in the church, when you look at their character and their attitude and the way they behave, it makes you question their salvation. Child of God. And so Jesus begins right from the prophets. Probably these are some of the examples he shared with them. Isaiah 53 verse 3 to 5. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. That is what Jesus was supposed to suffer for you and I. He went through for you and I. And the Bible says this all the way from the Old Testament. Daniel says, Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. I can imagine him walking and quoting scriptures to them, saying in Daniel 9, 26, show another prophet regarding these things, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. He came that he might be cut off, he might be cut, but not for himself, but for you and I. And so I can imagine Jesus teaching them these things and walking with them and telling them these things. It is a sign to us, dear brothers and sisters. You see, the journey with the Lord Jesus wants to come along us when we believe in him. He wants to come along us and begin a journey of teaching us how and who he really is. You see, the truth is clearly in the Bible, but it takes those who seek the truth to find the truth. And so begin to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants this journey with you whereby he can teach you from the word, the truth of God, the written word of God, who he truly is, his nature, his character. And by so, you can begin to see yourself beginning to appreciate him for who he is. You know, most of the times when you cannot even pray and thank him for who he is because you yourself, for some reason, have not taken time to understand the extent of grace and mercy that is given us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you come and we are saying, let's praise him and thank him, you're there sitting there, oh, what do I praise him for? Your mind is all over the place. You cannot be grateful because you do not know the truth. But the Lord Jesus said, I have come that you may know the truth, and that the truth might set you free. That is the kind of journey the Lord Jesus wants to take you and I on. A journey of discovery through the word of God. A journey of beginning to know who this supreme God is through his word. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth and the spirit. The spirit of God rests upon him. And at that moment, the author of the scripture himself, taking them scripture and teaching them who the scripture talks about and what the scriptures are about, begins to enlighten them and for them to begin to have a good spiritual understanding. You see, this is both practical and spiritual. And so the journey with the Lord Jesus is a journey of both discovery, new life. You see, the word of God says when a man comes to the Lord, he comes into a world of mystery. God is God and big and awesome that it will take his son Jesus to begin to teach you. But you need to allow him. Make time. Sit by your Bible. Call your pastor. I really want to study on this. Let him recommend some books. If you don't have a pastor, begin to, even in your Bible, you will see there are references to books and stuff that you can read in there. There are so many ways. Today we live in a world that knowledge is easy to come across. But you need to begin to will, to be desiring to journey with the Lord Jesus. If you will sit down and you will study the word of God. Oh, what did the apostle Paul tell Timothy? Tell Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, not unto man, but begin to study so that you yourself, you will know this Jesus that I know for yourself. No wonder the sons of Zebedee, they tried to cast out a demon. And they went and they said, I cast you out in the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches, and the demon woke up. Hey! Oh! Jesus, I know. Peter, Paul, I know. Who are you? And he whipped them because they themselves had not come to a true revelation of who Jesus is and have not accepted him as their Lord and personal Savior. And many Christians today are caught up in that world. We are so busy doing other things. We claim we know God. We know the word of God. Because a few quotings, we've been in church so much, so we hear pastors quote scriptures. But we do not devote and dedicate ourselves to relating with this Jesus. And so our journey with Jesus has become mild. But Jesus wants to enlighten us. He wants to open our spiritual eye to begin to understand spiritual things. No wonder the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians for the church of Ephesus, that he prays that their spiritual eye will be enlightened. Let us pray that the Spirit of God will begin to enlighten our understanding. Child of God, the Savior who knows the word wants to teach you. You see, the journey with Jesus is a life of teaching. Every moment, every time, every second you open the Bible, the word of God says that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He will teach you. There are times I'm even driving and I begin to think about the Lord Jesus, and then the Spirit of God will begin to talk to me and teach me about certain things. So I like going on long distances. Sometimes I'm alone in my room. I'll be playing music. Then the Spirit of God will say, put off the music. I want to show you something. Or sometimes I'll be watching a program. Then something will happen in the program. Then the Lord will say, what do you think of this? He begins to talk to me and begins to teach me. Our Christian life is full of education. Jesus wants to teach us. And you see, when you begin to pay attention to the Lord Jesus like that, you will become this person that is not ignorant. You see, the Apostle Paul says that we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. You know when the enemy begins to play nonsense on you. You know when the kingdom of darkness starts to attack you and to do certain things. And so you do not sit down when it is an attack from the enemy, because the Lord Jesus would have taught you and shown you what to do. You know when to fight and when not to fight, when to withdraw and when not to draw, when to study and when not to study. You become a child of God that is not ignorant. And today we have so many ignorant Christians in the church. Why is it so? The journey with Jesus is not a journey of ignorance. Jesus expounded the scriptures to them. You and I will begin to understand scripture. Accept him for who he is, and you will see how your understanding of scripture will begin to change. I was so ignorant of the word of God, and then I came into a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus. And from there, today, me too, I can say and encourage others through his word. I wasn't this person years ago, but by God's grace, now I'm teaching. I'm in a position of teaching others. I always say I am not the most smartest person. But by his grace, the things he has taught me gives me an opportunity to teach others. You can begin to teach others the things that he teaches you. So let that journey with him begin to be important with you. Nothing is important to me than my personal journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is revealed to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They drew near to the village where they saw him. 28 to 32. They drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, And the day is far spent, and he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the way, on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? Jesus indicated, I'm going further. But these two said, restrained him. The word that is used, that the restraining means, they basically did not permit him to move on. Come and dine with us. Come and dine with us. You see, the Jewish culture plays so much emphasis on dining. Dining is the place where you bring people whom you can trust into dining with you, sitting down to eat and merry. Talk to them. And so these people reaches home, they get food, and they're like, no, come, dwell with us. You see, they had enjoyed his company on the road that they would not allow him to go further. You see, you and I must begin to enjoy our relationship with the Lord Jesus, that we won't let him go on any condition. You get it? You need to begin. If you're really a child of God, and I'm telling you, search through this world and begin to point out people you know are truly in love with Jesus, and check out their life. They are full of life. They are full of joy. Even when you are in situations where there seem to be confusion and no peace, these people will be happy and joyful, always bubbly, bubbly, bubbly. But the point I'm trying to make here is this. Jesus, they had fallen in love with Jesus as Jesus was teaching them, and they realized, they felt an opportunity to invite him to come home and dine with them. We need to begin to be hospitable to God. We need to begin to be hospitable to the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean in being hospitable to the Lord Jesus Christ? He loves you and I. He came to die for you and I. We have accepted him as our Lord and personal Savior. We need to now begin to cherish and respect his relationship with us. We need to be willing to serve him and to be open and to share more time with him. You see, it is only through that time that you really begin to know Jesus for who he is. Jesus has come, sat at the table, and as they sat down and he took bread, and he blessed it, and broke it, their spiritual eyes were open. Oh, Jesus, and he vanished. Oh, Jesus, and he vanished. You see, the Father wishes it that we begin this relationship with Jesus. We begin to open up to him, or be hospitable and open up and allow him to teach us. Open our heart out to him. Dine with him. You see, it is through that intimate times that we can really begin to know Jesus for who he is. If you are not spending quality time with Jesus, begin a quality relationship with him. Many of us have become Christians who worship on the way to church, on the way to work, on the way to this. We do not have our own personal time of reflection. Our whole life is busy. And then some point at somewhere, we make time to spend quality time with Jesus. How are you going to really experience Jesus if you relate with him like this? My brothers and sisters, the time has come. Jesus has died. He has resurrected. He is now sitting on the right hand side of the Father, making intercession for you and I. And he promised that he has to go for the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit now dwells with us. And if we begin to treat the Holy Spirit with love, with respect, with humility, with kindness, with openness, he will also begin to do mighty things in our life. He will also begin to open our spiritual eyes. He will also want to spend more time and show us more. Child of God, begin to be hospitable to the Holy Spirit. And God will begin to bless you and to teach you and to show you things. You see, for your spiritual eye to even be open is a blessing in itself. Because I tell you that at some point, I didn't understand who I was as a child of God. But as I began to study the word of God, and I began to see who I am as a child of God. Today, as I stand here, I don't waste my time on unnecessary things. I speak as a servant of God in situations. I do not weep and mumble and cry and become a defeated child of God. I know the authority that I carry in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when a situation seems to overwhelm me, I speak to the situation and the situation bows because the Lord Jesus has given me this authority. And many children of God do not realize the authority and the power we carry. That is why we walk about and allow any racist to be racist at us. We allow any boss to be the kind of boss they want to be at us. We undermine ourselves. We do not talk with quality of who we are. We are so sad in heart. And some of us are so stricken with illnesses and diseases, and doctors are the ones making profit off of us. You know, some of us are even just being lied to. There are sickness, you don't carry it. You are being lied to by your doctors, and you are following their decisions, and you are making mistakes. When you could just spend a night and say, in the name of Jesus, I speak to this situation, live my life in Jesus' name. You heard our father sitting there saying, from the age of 11 years, he has never been to hospital. He has never been on medication. You think it is by mistake that this man of God came to sit here in the age that he is to be telling you these things? It is time, children of God. It's either you want to live for Jesus or don't waste your own time and waste the Lord's time. And so their eyes begins to open. And they say, Jesus, and he vanishes. You see, Jesus is always present with us in spirit. Gone are the days where he's present with us in physical appearances. Now, if you can believe, he's always with you wherever you are. He's always with you, whatever you do. So sometimes, when I'm in certain environment, I ask myself, can Jesus be here with me? And if it is not, I run. I have run from many rooms. I have run from many songs. I have run from many conversations. I have run from places where I could say I'm going to win souls. Because I know the Holy Spirit is not there with me. Hello? Bye. And many Christians today are not being hospitable to the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says he is holy. Those things that you do, can you really expose him to that? And if you are doing that, you are limiting yourself from being experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ. The relationships that you keep, the company that you love, the places you like to go where nobody is watching. Sometimes you stand out there and look around. Oh, pastor is not here. Nobody is coming. Let me go in. Fine. Obviously, none of us here know what you are doing. I see you as my fellow child of God. But the Holy Spirit knows your heart. He knows what you do. He knows where you go. And you cannot fool him. And so, as their spiritual eye began to open, now they become the true witnesses that they are supposed to be. These are people who were telling Jesus, it is late at night. Spend the night here with us. But the word of God says the moment they realized that it was Jesus who was with them, they got up and they ran back
the 7 miles. You know, Emmaus and Jerusalem was 7 miles. These people got up that late night. It wasn't late anymore. There was no danger of life anymore. Can you imagine what Jesus can do with your life the moment you realize the power and the authority, the kind of witness you would be? That is why it doesn't matter where the Lord Jesus sends you. So long as you know people need to hear the gospel, people need to have the gospel, you would go regardless. You would go. Your life doesn't matter anymore. They run to go and share the message. They run. They run. You see, if you want to become this witness that God has called you to be, open up on this journey. You will become a greatest. And you know what? When they went back saying they had seen Jesus, they weren't talking about even their experiences. They said, oh, Jesus has risen. He showed himself to Simon. Hello? You met Jesus too. You just saw Jesus. But no. What Simon is saying is enough for us. Children of God, this journey with Jesus will make you the witness you are supposed to be. Some of us have desires and ambitions and hearts. We want to do certain things for God. The only way you can become who you want to do, what you want to do, who you want to be for the Lord Jesus, is to begin an intimate journey with Him. My sermon has come to an end.